Hey everybody, Jim here. We had a bit of a snafu with our recording this week and Ted fell down a well. So next week we plan to get a better sound check and have a little bit better sound for you. So we hope it doesn't bother you too much, but we still have a great episode. We talk about a number of streaming services, both free and paid, that are not necessarily the mainstream. And we hope you enjoy it. There's also a few other things we talk about this week for surviving COVID-19 at home with some home entertainment choices. Enjoy, and we'll talk with you all next week. So long.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Hello, Ted. Week 3 of COVID-19 in episode 111. I've been off work. I know you're off. Well, let me put it this way. We're not off work, but we're working from home in case anyone from work is listening.
I'm working very hard from home. I don't know about you, but the amount of work that I have to do, I guess because of the position that I have, it's like,
oh, it's doubled.
Oh, yeah, you're the technical guy. You're the guy that loves Slack. Like, you know how to do all this stuff. Help us with all this stuff. And I'm like, this is what I was built for. This is what I was meant to do. And yes, I've worked like 2x, 3x the amount that I can work. You know, when a mother has a car accident and then she gets out of the car and she's like, my child is pinned under this car. Let me lift the car.
And she raises the car.
And she raises the car because of the gamma radiation or whatever the Hulk was talking about. You know, that's the way I felt these past 2 weeks. I'm a superhuman in waiting, and I was built for this. And yes, now I can finally flex the muscles that I needed to flex to show my value to my company. So yes.
Well, okay then. I mean, I guess so. So other than like doing 3x work, I mean, and you know what's funny though is you're the VP above you, whatever, is going to be like, only 3x? The fact you're doing all this work and you've been off work, well, home working, I guess. What else is going on with you? Much or not much? Or what, you know, what's the deal?
Well, you know, yeah, you know, I'm here in the front room. I'm in the dining room of the house. So I have access. I watch the front yard and I watch the breezeway from my perch here. And
from zombies.
And yeah, we're watching for zombies. We close the gate. We let Bryce out in the front yard. And earlier this week, Bryce was playing with mud because we had some rain here and he had some fun extra time. We had some lunches where he would have a couple hours in the front yard. And he was flinging some mud at a tree. So I thought, wow, that's amazing. Like, he had such pleasure and such joy from flinging mud on a stick at a tree. And I was like, wow. I was so envious of that kind of joy, you know? Like, how can you derive so much joy from something so simple, you know? It's like amazing, so.
Well, let's get to some simple pleasures and crack some beers here.
Well, let me say that for my beer this week, I have to start because my wife ventured out into the darkness to this week. And I was down to a couple beers left from Handy Market, and we went to Handy Market. She said, "Let's go to Handy Market. We'll go for your beers. It's important. We got to support the local, you know, grocery stores that are smaller.
Oh, for sure.
Grocery stores, which is Handy Market."
Right? I did the same.
That's exactly what Handy Market is. But we went to Handy Market, and they were closed.
What? That's a necessity.
I know. I said, "Why are you guys closed?" And the guys that were stocking it were like, "We're closed to restock because we ran out of everything, so we had to restock." So some guys that were in the parking lot were telling us that Handy Market had to close. But then I took my wife while I was in my office to get my standing desk. I said, "I'll go to the office to get my standing desk. You go to the Burbank Whole Foods and you just do our regular shopping." So while she was in a Whole Foods doing her regular shopping, she said, "Let me pick you up a special beer." So she got me a Knee Deep Brewing Simtra.
Knee Deep Brewing.
Yeah, Knee Deep Brewing Simtra.
Okay.
Triple Indian Pale Ale. Not meant for aging. Enjoy this triple fresh. And it's 11.25 ABV.
Oh my God, the war is raging. 11.25?
11.25. But the IBU is 131.
It's impossible. I thought they go to 100 and you're done. So while you're letting that head go down, I have a Cocoa Cow chocolate milk. Man, I was going to do a double IPA tonight, but man, I'm glad I didn't waste my 9%er because I would have lost. No, but I have a Cocoa Cow chocolate milk stout. Sun River Brewing Company, and this one looks like 7%. From what I hear, it's like a chocolate milk, so we'll see how. Holy cow, that was like a burst of Hershey.
So you have Sun River, and I have Knee Deep Brewing, so.
Yeah, where's Knee Deep out of?
It's Pacer, California.
Pacer, California. Never heard of it.
Placier County.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, this is brewed by Sun River Brewing Company, Sun River, Oregon.
Nice.
So there you go. So salute. Hey, here's to social distancing as we do every week.
Yes.
Wow, that is chocolate. Holy cow. It's like eating liquid Hershey.
That's a good thing.
Eating liquid Hershey? No, drinking.
Yeah, you could do both. I always say eating, and the kids always are like, no, you drink it.
I guess so. All right. So, yeah, so you've been off work. I keep saying off work. Like, you're not off work.
Stop saying
you're just
off
working
work.
From home. Yeah. Working from home. So, really quick, I just want to let you know to not open any emails that start with knock knock.
Is that a thing? Are people doing something with them?
Yeah, Jehovah Witnesses working from home. I couldn't help myself.
That's the funniest dad joke I've heard all week.
All right, nice. All right. So yeah, I would say, you know, just trying to keep the boys busy. I created this schedule. We're going to start Monday. Taped it up on the wall. 9 o'clock is writing. 10 o'clock is math. 11 o'clock is reading. 1 o'clock is, I think I said, science and engineering. 2 o'clock is general knowledge, as I call it. And 3 o'clock is art. And every hour, it's not like we're working straight through. Every hour is like 15 to 30 minutes. You know what I mean? So we're going to do like say with Mikey, right? It's like, let's work on the ABCs for 15 minutes. We're done. Go play, you know? So, but essentially the top of the hour is going to start the next subject area. And then we'll do it for 15 to 30 minutes. And then it's like, go play for a while. The next top of the hour, we're going to start again. And because I got news this week, we're out until May, and I'm just like, man, I can't just sit here and like hope for the best.
So are you guys are officially out till May, right?
Yeah, no, we're out till I think May like 4th? April 30th.
Oh, okay.
I don't know the exact date, but I think it's April 30th.
Yeah, I think we still have April 19th as the official date for us. But then everybody's talking about May 4th as the official date, the unofficial state date. And it's like, stop.
How do they know? I mean,
yeah,
nobody
stop
knows.
Trying to tell us what it is because, you know, Americans have to know.
Well, Donald Trump said April 12th, so that's what I'm sticking to. Yeah, he told us we're opening back up. Yeah,
yeah, right. we're gonna spread COVID-19 on Easter.
There you go. Best time to do it. Everybody go to church. Everyone go to church, infect all the old people.
Oh, it's so
yeah. Awful. It's terrible. All right, before we get to politics. So we have two trailers, and then we're going to get into what we promised from last week, what we talked about last week.
We teased it.
Just to briefly tease, so me and Ted always talk about a lot of the commercial streaming services, I guess, the Netflixes, the Amazons, Disneys, and all that kind of stuff. But this week we wanted to get into maybe the more obscure, the free, but the ones that do require subscriptions, but the subscriptions are less money, but they still offer a solid package. And we wanted to talk about a number of these. But before we do, let's start heavy so we could just go light. Defending okay. Jacob.
Yes.
Oh my God. I couldn't imagine like living through something like this.
Well, you know, as a school psychologist and as a father, I thought you would have a particular take on this that was doubly, you know, the same way Chris Evans is a, you know, federal prosecutor as well as a father. And he's like, I got to take off my prosecutor hat and become a father, you know. So I thought that was an interesting angle to take on something. And Apple TV, again, doing something that's very simple in story and approach, and yet, you know.
Well, it's like a New York Times bestseller or something?
Yeah. I mean, just taking something that's like straight out of Gone Girl or something along those lines and just, you know, doing a crime thriller that is, you know, Chris Evans heavy. It's all about Chris Evans dealing with this moral issue and being a father. You know, as a father, you have to like say, like, if I knew my son was guilty, would I still defend him? Would I still do the things that need to be done to keep my son free? Knowing that if your son made a mistake, do you let him go to jail for the mistake? Do you let him, what do you do? Do you choose justice over your flesh and blood? You know, even if your flesh and blood made a mistake, maybe it's just a mistake. Who knows? You know, it's like, it's that gray, it's this beautiful gray area that is explored in this piece, you know?
So it's legal versus ethical.
Right.
In a lot of ways. And I thought the same as how he said, you know, I need to take off one hat for the other hat. And I do that all the time. And I tell people the same thing. I take off my school psychologist hat, I put on the dad hat, and I start screaming at my kids. You know, it's like,
right.
If I had the psychologist hat on, I would not scream at them. And I would, but who has the patience for that? It's like, I go to work, I white knuckle it all day, and then I get home and I can finally scream at people. You know what I mean? It's like, I got to let loose. So I can completely understand what he's talking about. I mean, I think the trailer does a tremendous job setting the tone, setting the presence where it places you within the story.
Yeah, exactly.
Lots of great actors. It looks amazing. I think for me, it's a little bit too heavy to sit and watch. I mean, I couldn't do it. It's too heavy.
too much for you.
Oh, you know, you either have kids who are grown or you don't have kids. But when the kids are the age of your kids in this wheelhouse, you know, like, yeah, I can't do it. I'm just sorry. I can't do it.
It's too much. It's too close to the realm of possibility. You know what I mean? It's like, who knows what could happen?
Yeah. And your son, daughter, my kids, you know, my two boys, they could be riding their bikes in the neighborhood. And I mean, anything can happen, right? Anything.
Yes.
And if all that's there is their word and a dead body,
it's awful.
I mean, you're hoping they're telling the truth, and they very well may be telling the truth, and they could be completely innocent, and it could be anything that happened. But
yeah,
who knows, man? Like, I couldn't go down this path. I would have the weirdest dreams after watching this.
And that was the lovely thing to me, was the idea that he, as a prosecutor, would know how somebody would attack this as a case. And then he said he had to, you know, he didn't even say it. He had to take away all of the possibilities that could have, you know, prosecuted his son to conviction. You know what I mean? Like, he was like, he had to remove all possibilities of conviction away from, you know, his son. So to me, that was an amazing thing to do as a father, and especially a knowledgeable father. You know, for the most part, fathers would be bumbling about it. They would do something and try to do something. But for him to have the knowledge of what's to come, and then to express it in this, you know, in this loving way of, you know, destroying the knife or getting rid of the knife or whatever it is, you know, the trailer does a wonderful job of laying everything out for you and still maintaining this tension of thriller, you know?
I'd have to say it looks amazing. The acting is incredible. The story, the tension, everything we've talked about, I think is unbelievable. So much so that I can't go near it. You know? that's all I got to say about it. I mean, I think the trailer hits on all marks. You know, I mean, the tension it creates, the suspense. Yeah, I mean, if you want to watch it's what, like 5 episodes or something?
Yeah, it's a limited episodes. Series. It's limited series.
It's short, it's, yeah. You know, I mean, but I don't have a lot more to say other than that, and I'd like to move on to...
Too much for you.
Yeah, I'd like to move on to The Great. This looks better than what I would think it would be.
Okay, what does that mean?
Okay, so last week, week before, I'm not sure exactly which, but we were talking about how me and Clarissa are watching, well, we're not watching. I'm no longer watching Outlander, and it had the Scottish accents and the British, and it was very intense, and like you said, it's sexy, you know? And, and to a degree it is, sure, but it's one of those shows where it's like, I could find sexy anywhere, and I just want to know what the heck they're talking about. And I don't want the like the quiet flute music in the black in the background, like lulling me to sleep, you know. But this looks like Catherine the Great, you know, better known as Catherine the Second. Well, maybe not better known as. I guess she's better known as Catherine the Great, but she's Catherine the Second, Russian Empress from 1762 until her death in 1796.
Only to you and Anne, because Anne was immediately on to Catherine the Great when I shared this with her.
You know, it's funny. Well, yeah, and she was the country's longest female leader, you know, and when Anne put that little thing in our little podcast text group, she's saying how her European army European education is superior. I'm like, wait, I know who Catherine the Great is. Come on, you know, like, but see, I'm a kind of a history, like she's like an art nerd and I'm like a history nerd. So, you know, you find these things out over time, but no, I think Anne will definitely enjoy this. I don't think I would watch it, but if I did, I would probably enjoy it, I think, because I love little, like, I love this type of stuff when it, like, appears. So, in other words, the show's kind of moving along, bumping along, telling its story, but then there's, like, little hints where the guy throws the dog and he's claiming it's science, and then it's coming down in a parachute. Like, that kind of stuff probably has never happened.
Right.
Wasn't even, like, nowhere near this story, but the mere fact it's just for audience enjoyment.
Yes,
I think
exactly.
That kind of stuff would attract me to it.
Well, I think, you know, when you see the typography, when you see the copy come on the screen and it kind of comes on in this brash way and it's like painted onto the film, you recognize that it's from the people that made The Favorite before you even see that card where it says from the writers of The Favorite. So when I saw The Favorite with Anne in the movie theaters, we enjoyed it so thoroughly that I was completely sold on this kind of period piece. So I saw The Favorite in the theater with Anne, one of our date nights with the kids over at Frank and Barbara's, and it was amazing. It was great. It was a great movie. So to have a movie called The Favorite, followed by a movie called The Great, you know what I mean? It's very like, it's this cinematic space where these cinematographers, these creators, these directors, the writers, they utilize whatever means necessary to tell their story. So he is a filmmaker, and the fact that he's telling it on Hulu doesn't matter. You know, it is still the writer of The Favorite, a Oscar award-winning movie, you know, and he tells it in such a way that you are brought into the present by these things, by these little nuances where, you know, Nicholas Holt says touche, you know, and she corrects him with touche, you know, it's right. Like, it's those kind of things are just like incredibly, you know, leveling, you know, it's like,
that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, you know, that didn't happen. Like 100% that didn't happen.
Exactly. Exactly. It didn't happen. But it's like, it's something that's completely you can't even identify with it. It's unidentifiable. And yet somebody makes a mistake like touche, and it pulls you into this present, you know, that it's like, oh, right. Yeah, some moron from today would make that mistake, you know?
Right.
And he's wearing pearls at the time, and, you know, it's just like, it's amazing, and it's in all of its qualities, so.
Oh, and they're eating horse d'oeuvres.
Exactly. So it's on Hulu. We're gonna watch this. There's no bar to entry. You know, it's.
Well, there is if you don't have Hulu. I don't have Hulu.
Why don't you have Hulu? Come on, spend the $6. Do the Hulu.
This guy's telling me to spend the $6. It's not that I don't want to spend the $6 on Hulu. It's that with everything else we have going, we're not finishing the shows we're watching now.
Support me. You can, Hulu's Disney, so you can spend a little money and support me on Hulu.
Hulu's Disney?
Yeah, Hulu's Disney.
So wait a minute. Why don't they merge Disney Plus then into Hulu?
Because it's all branding, man. It's all branded separate. You know, it keeps everything clean, you know. FX on Hulu is FX on Hulu. Hulu's Hulu, and Disney's Disney.
Yeah, I guess so. When did Disney take Hulu then?
Soon after the Fox deal, I think.
They
did a majority buyout, so they're a majority stakeholder in Hulu.
Okay, well, let's then move into I don't really have a whole lot else to say about The Great other than it's about Catherine the Great from Russia, and it's semi-comedic historic piece.
Right.
I mean, it looks cool. I don't think I would. Well, let me put it this way.
You're not going out of your way.
I would give it a try like I did Outlander, but I won't go out of my way at this point. If, in fact, I find it somewhere and I'm like, oh, this is cool, like we talked about it, like I would at least give it a shot, you know?
Right.
It intrigues me. It intrigues me. So
okay.
With what you're saying now, let's move into our streaming COVID-19 at home entertainment
breakdown.
How to keep yourself breakdown. Like, we don't want let's have the PSA: sitting for long hours. Sitting is the new smoking. We don't want people sitting for too long.
That's right.
You sit all day, you could get thrombosis, deep vein thrombosis. You could have cardiac problems. You could have like fluid building up in your lungs. We don't want anyone wearing diapers while they watch so they don't have to go to the bathroom. Like, avoid all that kind
of
stuff. Be sure and get out, walk the dog, go for some exercise, get up once in a while, move, get your 250 steps an hour, and eat healthy food. Okay, that's your legal disclaimer.
Yes.
Talking now with Hulu, I want to get back to that. But last week, just a quick recap, me and Ted, we always talk about like Roku, Amazon, Fire Stick, Apple TV. What's the Google one? Google Chromecast?
Chromecast, yeah.
Yeah, Chromecast. And all of the channels that can stream to these devices, these over-the-top devices. Plus, there's smart televisions and there's Blu-ray players are smart and Xboxes are smart. Like, in other words, you could get a lot of stuff on all these devices.
100%.
So last week, then, we talked about the big dogs, Netflix, Amazon Prime Video, Disney Plus,
yeah.
HBO Go, and, you know, all the stuff, like the major players.
Right.
This week, we want to talk about some of the lesser players.
Yes.
But before we do, I want to finish out the Hulu conversation.
Okay.
And Hulu, now, you were talking about CBS All Access. That's another, like, I would say that's like a middle player.
Definitely middle player.
Right? Like, they're not, like, obscure, but at the same time, they're not, like, one of the top dogs.
They're trying to offer a brand equity, but the only brand they have is like a sci-fi brand with Star Trek, and they have two series of Star Trek, Picard and Discovery, and then they have, what is it, the Twilight Zone, which is another sci-fi brand.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But, you know, even with those three things, it's kind of like, I don't know. Are you a brand of sci-fi, or are you a brand of CBS All Access? And I will say that the CBS, when it comes to your streaming service, it is more CBS than it is All Access. As I've railed on this before, so.
But you can get all of their other CBS shows, though, Big Bang Theory and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, you can get all the CBS shows, Big Bang Theory and everything else. else. But it's just...
But you're talking regarding their original series that are streaming only, not coming to over the air.
Yeah, so CBS All Access has Star Trek Discovery domestically, so in the United States. But if you're in Europe or if you're anywhere else in the world, CBS All Access doesn't have it. Netflix owns the international distribution of Star Trek Discovery.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of a split baby on that front. But just the fact that CBS All Access, I mean, I talk about this more and more, but it really is a glaring difference that it does not care about skipping intros and skipping recaps. And the more and more you watch shows in it where you are binge watching or even watching two episodes at a time, it is just a glaring difference with every other streaming service that it doesn't let you do these things that you're used to doing with every other streaming service. It is a time waster to waste, you know, 2 minutes or 90 seconds on an intro that you've seen, you know, 45 minutes ago is just not what a viewer of 2020 wants to do. You know, it's like, I'm sorry that you can't do it, but it's a thing that is expected. You let me skip this thing that I've seen 45 minutes ago. You know what I mean? And then on top of that, you know, sure, I'm splitting hairs, but on top of that, I turn on the captioning because I'm listening to something and I want to turn it down. Maybe I don't want the kids, you know, the kids aren't asleep yet and I want to watch the episode. But the captioning for the shows is precursoring the actual dialogue. So it'll show the captioning on the bottom of the screen 2-3 seconds before the person says the things on the program. So I'm like, this is worthless. Like, I don't want to read ahead in the book. You know what I mean? I want to read right. while it's going on. Like, let me read while the person's saying it. Don't precede it by 3 to 5 seconds. It's just not the way it's done. And the sheer fact that a streaming service does this without any regard to these people that are doing this with captioning. Because I think what a CBS audience is doing is saying like, oh, these are people that don't hear this at all. But it's not. It's actually the younger people that turn on the captioning. And I don't know why they do it, but they do it. And the fact that they're hearing it and then they're seeing it or they're seeing it before they hear it, it destroys the whole series for them. It destroys the whole watching experience. So I'm very sorry, but it is not for any millennial or Gen Z.
It's like when you have to set up your preamplifier or you have to set up the lip sync. So if it like the delay or whatever it is. So let's say you're off by like, you know, like 6 milliseconds and you can totally tell that that's problematic because the lips aren't matching with the voice. So you need to set up like your pre-pro, right? Your preamp processor.
Yes.
So that's what it is. Yeah. Your preamp processor. So like your audio processor.
Yes.
And for whatever the reason, it's not syncing properly. So you have to sync it. You know, you have to adjust the milliseconds to the lips and everything. So that's what they're doing with the closed caption is what you're telling me.
Except it's not milliseconds. It's like 3 seconds. It's awful. Oh,
that's even worse. But what I'll say too, though, as far as like skip intro, skip recap and everything, I mean, I use that all the time.
Right?
And it's not even so much like I just saw it or whatever. Sometimes, like, I'll just use Netflix as an example. And me and Clarissa are in the indoor trainer. Actually, perfect example is Disney.
Mm-hmm.
We're watching the Imagineers based on your recommendation.
Awesome.
Glad right? We're about episode 5, I want to say.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they're all different lengths. So if we're doing like an indoor trainer workout, because it's great trainer fodder.
Yeah.
We're doing an indoor trainer workout as an example. And it, let's say, is 47 minutes. And the trainer workout is hour 15. Well, we have almost 30 minutes. So when you think about like the episode ends and it's like in 20 seconds, the next episode's going to begin. Oh, no, it ain't. I'm going to hit it right now. And you allow me to hit it right now. And then it'll say skip intro.
Yeah,
boom, skip intro. I skipped intro. No, I'm sorry. Skip recap. Boom, I skipped the recap. Skip intro. Boom, I skipped the intro. That was all of 4 seconds. I just saved myself like
4 minutes.
at a minimum of being on the indoor trainer. And sometimes it makes a difference because I'm like in a downturn of an interval where I can actually breathe or something, right? So I pick up the remote, bam, 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 put the remote down, boom, next interval hits. And like Disney, Netflix, Amazon, I don't know other ones that do it, but they do it. You know, those are the three that I deal with all the time. So I could totally feel your pain on that, you know. But what I wanted to ask, though, was, and I hate to keep bringing it back to this Hulu thing, but what I wanted to ask was, so I know ABC is owned by Disney.
Yes.
And I just learned Hulu is. But Hulu had like a deal with NBC and CBS as far as like local shows and like the weekly kind of sitcoms and all that sort of thing. I'm assuming it's still that.
It is. It is still there. Yeah.
Right. So that's kind of where that branding comes in. But then like you have CBS All Access, but then is CBS still on Hulu?
I don't know about the deals. I mean, a lot of the deals are going to have to play out.
It just seems so bizarre.
Yeah, I know. And you know, NBC has Peacock coming out, and it's going to come out after, hopefully, God, knock on wood, hopefully after COVID-19 settles, you know. I think it was set for late summer, so hopefully COVID-19's gone by then. But, you know, people are saying like, oh, why doesn't Peacock rush to the market because the market's going to be saturated? But I kind of, you know, I understand why they wouldn't, you know. Why rush to it? And you know, you've planned and you've primped for this release date, and you have stuff planned for it. Don't muddy the waters by trying to do something early just because an opportunity is there. So I think there's a lot of deals in place. I mean, there's still Disney content on Netflix, even though Disney Plus still exists, you know? Like, my children are like, oh, why is this on Netflix? And I'm like, well, the deal's still...
I said the same thing.
The deal's still in place. They still have, like, a couple of shows, you know, a couple of movies, a couple of episodes, a couple of things on Netflix, and they just got to play out the contract. So, it is what it is.
And yeah, same with Marvel and all
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Yeah. So, they're playing out contracts. They're dealing with all the things that are playing out. They're still getting money for it. So, you know, you're not just doing something out of the goodness of your heart or the goodness of a contract. You know, you're still reaping benefits and gains from it. So it's all there, but we'll see once all the streaming services are out how Hulu fares, because it will be against the Warner Brothers and the Peacocks of the world. So we shall see.
I always find it fascinating, too, something like a CBS All Access. I mean, I remember 2007 is when we cut the cord for the first time. And with our, well, MacBook Pro of the day, which I still use for some things. Like, you're looking now at 13 years ago, and I remember watching shows, and you would just go straight to the websites, and the website would be, you know, like Fox or something, or CBS or ABC, and they would have their show, and it would stream, like, the next day. So if the show was out Monday night, it would be on streaming Tuesday. So you're only off by a day. It wasn't really that bad, and we would just do that, you know, and it was free. They would have commercials and ads and things, and it was very similar to watching it, but we were just not having the cable contract that we would have to pay. And the only penalty was a 24-hour differential, essentially, right? Moving forward, it seems as though not much has changed in a lot of ways, other than some things are exclusively on like a CBS All Access. And otherwise, they just charge you, you know, like $5.99 to get access to all their shows or something.
So CBS All Access has a, you know, they have a branding opportunity where they're trying to sell you on this sci-fi-ness of what they're trying to do. But when you look at it, really, Hulu is doing something that's even one step above that, where they say FX on Hulu. And that allows you to do like this double branding dip, where FX is a known commodity, a known quality, a known branding, you know, space, where FX stands for Atlanta, it stands for quality, it stands for American Horror Story and the Americans. So they have a quality that is on par with, maybe close to approaching, an HBO kind of quality FX. And to say FX on Hulu has this exclusive nature to it where they could have done something like that on CBS, where they say, you know, either sci-fi on CBS or Star Trek on CBS. And they're definitely leaning into the Star Trek, but they're leaning into Star Trek in promo, and they're not leaning into Star Trek in branding. So when they say when they say CBS All Access, and they show you the slate of shows that they have, they will show you every Star Trek series that they have in their library. But they won't call it as a branded opportunity to say Star Trek on CBS All Access. So I think they're missing an opportunity of like just dialing it in and like digging their heels into this space of like, if you like Star Trek, then you have to have CBS All Access. And yet they have promos within episodes of these shows that are Star Trek promos to everything Star Trek within the CBS All Access environment. So why not go the extra mile and use the branding of this franchise and do it as a franchise? You're five episodes into The Imagineers. The Imagineering story is all about branding. And I'm sorry to harp on this, but it's like the largest branding A/B test in the world, because it's done with parks, and parks are firm and they're solid and they're set in their ways and they're set on a course. And then they proceed with what you're built into the start, right? But, you know, Europe Disney failed at the start, and, you know, California Adventure failed at the start because they lacked IP. They lacked intellectual property that was tied to brands and franchises that people loved. And it wasn't until the fact that they knew that and they figured it out that they put Cars Land into, you know, California Adventure. They put Ratatouille into, you know, Paris Disneyland. And it's like the minute they put intellectual property that was owned by Disney into these parks was the minute that they became successful. So I love the idea of just like
creates an identity.
You have an identity, and CBS All Access has an identity, but they refuse to name it. They refuse to call it by what it is. So that's my biggest thing, is like they're missing this opportunity of branding themselves.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think that one of the biggest things about it is that it's as if they're holding the audience hostage to say, you like Star Trek? Well, then you're going to deal with what we have to give you. Not, I mean, the cost isn't high. I mean, the barrier to entry is low. I mean, it's very inexpensive at, I think it's what, $5.99 or something, or $4.99?
Yeah, it's $6 and then 2 minutes at the beginning of every episode.
But yeah, I think it's all that other stuff that is going to lose your audience in the long run. The fact you can't skip ahead, and like I think you were saying too, where they have, this is last week, I think you were saying that they have an ad right before the credits to get into the next episode or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Which then has another ad once you get into that episode.
Exactly.
And just like these odd little things that they're doing, those are the things that are going to lose an audience. It's not the cost, because people are paying $15 to get into something like HBO or Showtime. But with that said, though, I think it's important to know that a lot of the things, we might hit a few things quick, we might stall on a few things and talk about them and chew on them a little bit. But some are free, some cost money. But what I want to do is get into, you know, maybe a little bit deeper dive on home entertainment now that people are home so much. And these are some offers that people might not be aware of. But what I want to say is, first, you know, right now libraries are probably closed. I know the ones in our town are closed, but maybe not everywhere. I don't know. But when they do open, libraries, they have videos.
Yep.
You know, you could get Blu-ray and DVD and video games even. You know, you could get these things like right on the shelf in your library. So get off your ass and get a library card.
Oh, it's too easy.
It's free.
Yeah.
Oh, and the library has such an awesome array of offers for, I mean, like all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
I mean, you need a printer. You need to go print your airline tickets. Just go to the library. if you don't own a printer, you know? I mean, like, it's so easy. But so, yeah, let's start there. I mean, just getting the actual physical discs from the library. But if you can't do that, you know, just like the old Blockbusters, right, Ted?
Yeah.
but if you can't do that, you can look into Canopy and Hoopla, and both of those are participants that, or, well, that your library has to participate. I guess they buy into a license or something.
It must be something like that. Yeah, for sure.
I know our local library, I couldn't get into it. And all it asked for was zip code. Mm-hmm. You know, they said, what's your zip code? And I put in my zip code and they said, your library doesn't participate. I put in the next town zip code. They're like, oh, welcome. And it was like, really? It's that easy? You know? So it's not, there's like no barrier to entry. And Canopy has a huge A24 library.
Yes, they do.
I mean, they have all those awesome A24 movies that we've talked about for, you know, 100 episodes. And then there's a lot of free stuff on Crackle, Roku Channel, Tubi, FilmRise, Pluto TV. But what I would say is, though, I've watched a couple things on Tubi and I've watched a couple things on FilmRise. I would say the biggest thing there is the barrier to entry is low. It's free. Just go to the website and start watching, really. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing there is, do you want to watch like 80s television or 90s movies? You know, if you're not into it, those things might not appeal. You know what I mean?
How is the commercial experience for you in those? Because some of them, I feel like, I guess I can't tell, but sometimes I feel like there's too many commercials.
Yeah, I mean, it depends.
But you're paying $0 for Pluto TV, so.
Yeah, so some of the, like, when you look at it that way, I think it just depends. I mean, if you're used to watching a lot of over-the-air television, I don't think it's going to bother people.
Yeah. How is FilmRise? I didn't hear about FilmRise until you brought it up.
FilmRise is really cool. So they have FilmRise, and I put down lower, there's a bullet point, FilmRise Kids. Uh-huh. And FilmRise Kids is like, well, the kids' movies and such. But yeah, it's solid. I mean, there's like a lot of stuff. But like I said, are you into 80s and 90s television and movies? They're not going to have a lot, or maybe like early 2000s, but they're not going to have a lot of the new stuff.
I will say that if you have children and if you're looking for children streaming services, I believe Amazon Prime for children is free now, even though we're Prime members. I think the children in COVID-19 are kind of been given a break for all the streaming services. And if you don't have a streaming service, you could definitely get something streaming for your kids in this COVID-19 environment. Because I think it's a special place where, you know, kids don't understand what's going on necessarily, and they need a little extra. And us as parents need a little extra too. So it's a good space. I know Amazon last week came out with Amazon Prime for Kids for free. Oh, and also like books on tape and free Kindle for kids as well. So, you know, it's not just streaming, but also, you know, all the modes of entertainment for children have kind of opened up a little bit.
Yeah, and a lot of the free ones too would be like PBS Kids.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah, you just, I don't know, you create an account.
Right. But like you said, your zip code is sometimes all you need.
Yeah, your zip code, it pretty much, that just says like SoCal PBS or something. Exactly. Right? Or it's going to just give you the region that you live in. It's not that they're looking for prices or anything. There's Happy Kids TV. Go Noodle is a way to do some physical fitness indoors if you want to have your kids running around in front of the television.
That's cool.
Yeah, FilmRise, though, I'm looking at it here, and like there's a lot of, like, you know, Third Rock and 21 Jump Street, Greatest American Hero. That's what I was saying. It's like, you know, the commish.
Oh, wow.
Like, if you're into, like, older television, you know, I mean, some of the stuff I'm looking at is just Grace Under Fire and Sybil and stuff. You're just like, really? If you're into it, like, it's cool. You know, Greatest American Hero. Here you go. But, I mean, if you're into those kind of shows and everything, like, yeah, it's a great service, but I wouldn't expect anything too state-of-the-art, too new, too up-to-date.
Right.
But then there's some paid ones, though. So those are some of the free that we touched on. You could go look at everything that we have in our show notes over at trailerjunkiespodcast.com. Mm-hmm. But then there's other ones, though, like Philo is probably the most affordable option at $20 a month. It gives you about 60 channels. But what it doesn't have is any sports. So if you're not going to have, if you don't care about sports, Philo might be one of those options you're going to look at.
Have you heard that pronounced? Is it Philo or Philo?
Oh, I don't know. I just called it Philo. Maybe it is Philo. It sounds Philo to me. Why? What do you think?
I thought it was Philo, like Philo dough. You know what I mean? Like the dough.
Maybe. Yeah.
But I didn't know. I did not know it was $20 a month. I looked into it and then I saw that it cost something and then I just opted out. I didn't even continue. But yeah, $20 a month seems high to me for even for 60 channels.
What I think it is, I think it's not a streaming replacement. I think it's a cable replacement.
It's like a mini bundle.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's to say I'm not going to have Comcast at $100 a month, but I'll call it Philo Philo for $20 a month, right? I think that's what it is.
And I like the fact that they say we don't have sports, so if you're looking for sports, don't come here with your $20 a month. I don't need you complaining and then canceling us. Like, it says up front, we got no sports, you know, go somewhere else, you know.
Yeah.
Do your ESPN Plus or whatever.
For sure, yeah. And that's where Sling TV comes in. And they have like the orange package, the blue package, you get both, you know. But but I think Sling is like the least expensive way to get ESPN.
Okay.
So because I know, and I looked at this too, and Disney Plus has a package where you could get ESPN Plus.
And Hulu.
And Hulu, yeah. But I'm talking about ESPN, just getting ESPN, I'm saying. And okay, ESPN okay. Plus is like ESPN content, but it has nothing that, but you can't watch anything ESPN live. So like SportsCenter and all that stuff, right? So I think it's ESPN Plus, I think, is strictly like archival sports and such.
30 for 30s, all the documentaries, and yeah.
For sure, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I don't think it's anything current and live. So I think it looks like, maybe I'm wrong, but it looks like Sling Orange is the least, at $30 a month, is the cheapest way to get ESPN.
Right.
Hulu plus live TV is another one. That's $45 a month.
Creeping up the scale back. I mean, $45 a month is the same as cable, right? That's the same cost as cable.
It's getting close, yeah. Yeah. Right. And then YouTube TV is a little bit pricey at $50.
Yes.
Yeah, so lots of local channels and local sports, but I mean, get cable at that point is what I say.
Exactly. That is exactly the price of cable, $50 a month.
Yeah, so YouTube TV, I don't know where that falls and why you would get it. But, you know, hey, it might fit somebody's thing. And maybe you don't have good cable in your area and whatever. But, hey, YouTube TV.
Maybe you're a huge Karate Kid fan. And that's only on YouTube. So, like, if it's on YouTube Red and you get YouTube Red included in YouTube TV, then that's what you get.
So, is the Karate Kid really only on YouTube?
It's the Karate Kid, the new Karate Kid, I think, that's only on YouTube Red.
Oh, I gotcha. It's the
one that's all those TurboTax commercials or whatever that guy where he's talking about like the Cobra Kai, but it's Koala Kai or something. It's like the new softer version of him.
Yeah. So yeah, and then just to round out the four kids stuff. So we talk about PBS Kids. There's Happy Kids TV.
Your kids love that. Your kids love the Happy Kids TV.
They do love the Happy Kids TV. Yeah, they're
that's crazy.
I accidentally deleted it one time. I mean, they came after me with pitchforks and torches. I mean, they were storming the castle, man. It was unbelievable. But then paid streaming is Boomerang, which is like $3.50 or a little less than $3.33 is what it is, I guess. And that's like a lot of like the Tom and Jerry's, Scooby-Doo's, all the Woody Woodpeckers, really? And all the older cartoons. Yeah.
Is that worth $4 a month?
I don't know. I mean, if your kids are into it, hey, if it keeps them quiet while you're trying to cook dinner, I guess. I don't know. No, but what I would say is, you know, well, let me just finish the last one.
Yeah, go for it. Noggin.
And then there's Noggin, and Noggin's $8, but it's like the most obnoxious preschool animation. Yeah, it's over the top, you know,
but I think the reason it's $8, it's the most clearly educational of all of them, right?
Noggin?
Yeah, don't you feel like Noggin is the most educational?
Maybe. Yeah, okay, sure.
It's almost like winking and nodding at the parents, like, we're teaching your children stuff while that we try to entertain them. You know, that's why you're paying us $8 a month, you know what I mean? It's like,
right,
they have this extra value added thing where they're talking to the parents by teaching the children, and it's like, you know, kids are learning from everything around them. They don't need like obvious teaching platforms, you know?
Yeah, they absorb all kinds of information.
Like, I was measuring paper with my son today, and Bryce, we were trying to do fractions, and I was like, all right, 8.5 by 11, you know, like, that's the size of a piece of paper, so we need to cut it in half, what's that? And then we need to cut that in half, what's that? And, oh, we cut that in half, and it's not exact, so let's cut it in thirds, you know what I mean? So it's like, I don't need a specific educational streaming service, because I'm gonna like figure out a way to squirrel in some math or some education in other things that I do with them.
Yeah, and what I would say with a lot of these, when you look at the big dogs, the big players, you know, the Amazons, Netflix, Disneys, and so on, the biggest thing I would say is, if you are on a budget, and especially now, a lot of, you know, people might be getting laid off, they don't have the money to be throwing down $12, $13, $15, $18 a month on even cable, whatever.
Well, do you know what? Trailer Junkies podcast is free, and we've always been free. So
that's right. No, but I think things like Canopy and Hoopla and your library, I think, are awesome alternatives to, you know, Netflix and all the others.
Oh, yeah. They have tons of content.
Yeah. And, you know, and then there's also, like I said, Tubi and FilmRise and Pluto and so on. And yeah, there's, you know, like Ted was saying, there's commercials and so on, but there's advertisings. But what I would say is, like, if you're really struggling financially, I mean, we just hope things get better, but there's options for you still to have entertainment at home, and you don't have to spend a lot of money. And that's really what we want to drive home is, even if it's Philo or Philo or however you pronounce it, at $20 a month, it might be a little bit steep, but at the same time, though, it's like, you could get a lot of content for not as much as what you might be paying for cable or something.
And I live by the whole calendar invite. I did the 6-week trial of Center.com. So Center.com is Chris Hemsworth work at home fitness thing, and I just set a reminder at 40 days to with Anne, so Anne and myself will check in 40 days and we'll be able to cancel a membership like before they charge it. And it's like, just use your calendar, invite yourself to cancel.
What's it called?
It's called center.com, center.com. And because of the COVID-19 thing, he gave away 6-week training for free. So you get 6 weeks for free, and you just have to sign up, and then at the 42 days, it charges you whatever it charges you. So it's going to charge me like $119 on 42 days, but I set my reminder for 40, and then I'll cancel it at 40 days, or if I'm loving it, and right now I've done like, I did 4 days this work week, just like different calisthenics and HIIT training and all kinds of stuff. So it's kind of amazing. It's a whole routine workout that you could do in a hotel room or in your living room or in your breezeway. This morning I was in my breezeway doing different kinds of workouts. It's fun. It was a fun thing to do. So we'll see.
But I'd have to say, though, I mean, at $10, like $120 a year, let's say.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if all you're doing is sitting around the house with like a dumbbell. You know, no, I mean, think about it, though. Like, how many people are, like, lazily doing nothing right now because for whatever the reason, yeah, and they're just spending way too much time sitting on the sofa? I mean, really, like, $10 a month, you could get in shape. You know, I'm not saying his workouts are the best. Right. I know nothing about it. All I'm saying is, though, like, if you have no motivation, for $10 to get yourself, like, what's like a doctor's copay?
Exactly. And it
right?
And it's hilarious, too, because it's like, oh, this workout needs kettlebells or dumbbells. And I'm like, oh, I don't have kettlebells or dumbbells. I don't have kettlebells.
You're like, get me a gallon of milk.
Well, that's exactly what it was. It was like, I was like, oh, I spent like 15 minutes in the garage trying to find my 15-pound dumbbells. And I'm like, I know I have them somewhere. And it's like, oh, you could use something else. You could use something else. And then the very next thing on its thing was, here's substitutes for the kettlebells or dumbbells. So I got a gallon of bleach in each hand, and I'm using them as like kettlebells. And I'm like, all right, this kind of works, you know, whatever works.
Just don't spill, because those nice curtains will be all ruined by the time you're done. Anne's curtains will be all blasted with bleach. You drop it.
Yeah. But it's worth it. It's worth it for 6 weeks. We'll see how I look in 6 weeks.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you know, like what me and Clarissa do is we do a lot of barbell work.
Uh-huh.
And I always did all these workouts, right? And the workouts were always like, you know, like move this way, move that, you know, you do all these like weird isolation work. And it's like, man, I couldn't keep up with all the movements. There were way too many of them. So then I bought this book, Starting Strength.
Uh-huh.
And it's pretty much just like squats, deadlift, overhead press, and bench press. I mean, there's a few other little things in there that they talk about supplement, but that's all it is. It's like four workouts, you know?
Yeah.
Or four movements, I guess.
Right.
And it's like four movements. Next thing you know, like you're getting like
ripped.
Yeah, your deadlift. You don't need to do all this other stuff. You know what I mean? It's like so simple sometimes. You know what I mean? Like we always want to complicate things.
Yeah, and the workout I was doing this morning was like crawling, like a feet and hand crawl forward, crawl back, and different variations on squats. And I was like, this thing is burning so hard that I could tell exactly where it's working. And it's working upper body, lower body, and core. And it's like keeping your core straight. And, you know, if you do it properly, it will work every part of your body. And Anne scared me.
Exactly.
Anne scared me this morning because I was in the breezeway and I was working out by myself. And she walked out on the front porch. And I was like, oh my God, what are you doing? She's totally like frightened me. But I was like, this is the first workout that I saw Chris Helmsworth doing in a hotel room on Instagram. And I was like, oh, Chris Helmsworth is getting fit by like doing this crab walk forwards and backwards in this, you know, 20 by 20 hotel room. So if he can get a workout in a hotel room with a remote trainer that he can't fly in because he's on location, then I can do the same thing, you know? And that's exactly what we're doing, you know? And the trainer's saying the same things, you know?
And walked out into the breezeway thinking Chris Hemsworth is out there.
Oh, she wishes.
And then she was like, oh, it's just Ted. No, but I mean, all this stuff, you know, and that's the last thing I think this is a good segue into is active.com.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Those are awesome.
Is like marathon running 5Ks, 10Ks, you know, they'll do, you know, half marathons, you know, if you're a runner. And then they'll also have like cycling events and everything. And they have tons and tons and tons of events right now that are all virtual. So I don't know how they're doing it. I kind of perused it a little bit. I think it might be like on treadmills or indoor trainers for cycling and so on. But they have so many events that they're conducting because all this stuff gets canceled. And I mean, every community has a 5K, you know what I mean? Or your local town has its annual 10K fun run, mud run, color run, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And this year, your particular town's run in April, May, or June, or whatever, has been canceled. So all these different events are like trying to still be relevant. A lot of this stuff is for charity, and a lot of this stuff is, it raises money for local community organizations and things, and they're trying to put them virtually online so we get to sit and do Zoom meetings with our friends and our colleagues and our people at work, and we get to do Zoom meetings to have like a group run. You know, I mean, it's like kind of a weird world we're living online, but I mean, imagine, you know, the 1918 Spanish flu and everybody's quarantined. Like, the internet makes it so easy to be quarantined.
It does. It does add a layer of social distanced, excused hanging out, right? Like, you were hanging out with your friends before this. We were hanging out with friends from New York, you know. We're in LA. Our friends from LA moved to New York. And they moved to New York years ago, and we still talk to them, and we still kind of, from time to time, hang out. But never have we been as close to them as we have in these past 2 weeks. The past 2 weeks, we've had
Let's do a Zoom meeting!
We did like we're all on Apple, so we did FaceTime with them, and we're like doing martinis and eating dinner while they're post dinner and putting their kids to bed. You know what I mean? Because they're on the East Coast, so it's this excuse to hang out with people that you could have hung out with the whole time, but you didn't because their schedules were different and whatever excuse was coming up.
And everybody's at home.
Everybody's at home now, so it's like, they were wrapping up another local. They had friends from college they were hanging out with before us because they're all on the East Coast. And then once they put their friends to bed, then they called us and, you know, they hanged out with us on the West Coast. So it's this amazing new community that we can access because of what we're doing.
And yeah, and my favorite is, you live across the street from my in-laws and they're in their house, you're in your house, and you guys are playing Farkle over the internet.
We decided to play Farkle last Sunday with Frank and Barbara, and we had an epic battle of Farkle where it was so great because, you know, the four of us would play our Farkle rounds, and then Barbara and Frank would play Farkle, you know, and we would go through, and Barbara was keeping score, and we have both our cameras going, and we could tell what we were rolling and stuff, and Frank and Barbara were like battling back and forth, and then Frank won. And then, you know, after you win in Farkle, you get everyone after you gets to play a round, you know? You get to, everyone past you gets to play one more roll to check to see if you could beat the winner. And Barbara beat Frank on the very last roll. And that means that Frank gets one last shot to try to, you know, topple Barbara. And he did. And it was just an amazing, epic battle back and forth. So it was great. We plan to do it again in a couple days on Sunday. But we also want to say that we had a great time hanging out with our cousins and our sister in Wisconsin and San Diego last weekend. So we have tons of opportunities to hang out with family and friends. So it's amazing how the things that have divided us by space and distance and mileage and all of the time zones has now melted away because everyone is, you know, in the same boat, and we're all in this together. As Disney likes to say, it's hashtag WAITT. We're all in this together, which is a great High School Musical song. So, sorry for the extra branding.
So, you know, you mentioned, though, how it's like mileage and time zones and everybody's apart and separate and everything. I don't, you know, I mean, I think that is a tough way to get together, obviously, right? You know, so
yes.
Then you think like, well, we do have FaceTime and Skype and Zoom and all these other ways, but why don't we otherwise? And I think the reason why we don't otherwise is it has nothing really to do with the distance or the time zone and everything. I think it's that, like, everybody's so busy. You go to work, you're commuting, you're in the car, going to work, coming home from work, you're at work, you're getting dinner and stuff. Now we're all home.
Right.
We're not commuting. We're, you know, all of a sudden people have time. And it's like as if you were to look at society 100 years ago. when people weren't commuting. Right. You would sit out on the porch and talk with neighbors, or you would do all the things you would do with neighbors and stuff, you know, and people who were in close proximity to you. Well, nothing's really changed. We still do those exact things. Our time has given back to us.
Right.
And we're just using the internet as our front porches or something, as the things that would keep us in that close proximity, even though somebody might be in Los Angeles or New York or Toronto or who knows where around the world, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's funny you say the front porch, because I actually use my front porch as a simulator for my commute in the morning. Like, I will work out in the morning, which is usually before, like, around 7 o'clock. And then I go take a shower and I make a smoothie or make a breakfast or make a coffee. And then I will take 20 to 30 minutes and sit on my front porch and listen to a podcast and just simulate a commute, because it's part of my routine in the morning. You know, it's like I need to separate my work day from the home time in the morning, you know? So it's a perfect time to sit on the porch in the morning and listen to a podcast, drink a coffee, drink a smoothie, drink, you know, eat avocado toast or something, you know? And it's this beautiful time where it's 20 to 30 minutes, but I can choose to not be activated the same way driving in traffic activates me. You know what I mean? Like, sitting on the porch is so much better than sitting in traffic and driving. You know
what I mean? Well, and it's so funny too. I mean, we would get up at 5 a.m, work out for say an hour-ish, hit the shower, make breakfast, and we get our day started at that point, right? Well, now that I'm home, we don't need to get the boys rolling as much, and we can kind of slow down the morning a little bit. So we get up at 6 every day. So we push it back roughly an hour. Man, I will and we go to bed about the same time, you know, roughly 9 o'clock. I will have to say, adding that hour in the morning makes me so sluggish getting out of bed, you know, because I'm just like, and I don't even think it's that, it's the time. Like, I don't think it's the extra hour. I think it's that, like, there's no sense of urgency.
No, there's no sense of urgency. No.
I don't need to get up to rush my workout, to rush my breakfast, to rush my shower, to rush anything, to rush off to work, because, like, we're just home. I'm still going to do what I'm going to do. I'm still going to be fit. And you know what? I might even take an extra 5 minutes and stretch, you know, or whatever it is, because, like, I can, you know, and I'll tell you, there's peace in knowing that I could just be slow if I want to. And I think coming out of this whole thing, I don't know what it's going to look like long term, but what I will say is, I mean, this too shall pass, as sayings go, but I don't know what society is going to look like, because we're all experiencing a different mode. We're all experiencing a different tempo, and those little things are so, like, it, you know, it might be that I don't need to, like, you know, just let's say somebody's working 40 hours, maybe they'll work 30. Somebody works 60, maybe they'll work 40. And it's the difference of, I don't need that extra money to buy another television when my television's good enough. Spending time with people I care about is more important. It's not about owning a bunch of stuff. You know what I mean?
How millennial of you to talk about not owning things. But yes. No, I totally agree with you. I think it is a great leveling factor to reevaluate what you value in life.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Like, you're just reevaluating, like, what's important. And owning a bunch of crap at some point, like, I think your time, we're discovering that our time is very valuable.
Right. But to the same effect, like, a lot of people say, because your children are at home, your work-at-home value is lessened because your children are at home and you have to kind of, like, shepherd them and you have to, like, figure out what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. But yet, when I talk about when I think about my children going back to school, it really feels like that I should go back to work, because when I watch my son, when I watch Bryce like doing his homework or doing his classwork at my desk while I'm doing my work, it really feels like a connection that I would not get in a typical work environment or typical school environment.
For sure. Yeah, I agree with that.
So there's a thing where he's doing his thing and it's not optimum. It's not great, but he's doing it because I'm working and he thinks like, ooh, while daddy's working, I should be working. You know what I mean? It's kind of like this weird equity of...
He feeds off you. Yeah.
Yeah. He feeds off me doing my work and doing the things that I'm doing for work. And then he does his work. But then, you know, there's plenty of times where he's like goofing off or doing something else and I'm like wasting time trying to get him back on track. So, you know, it's a mixed bag of things, but there is a value to it where if I were working from home and the children were at school, I would look around and say like, I should just be at work with my coworkers and do what I used to do. You know what I mean? So
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like there's definitely going to be some kind of split when we all go back to work in a month or 2 months or whatever it is. And who knows what it's going to be? Because I was thinking originally like, oh, if the children are going back to school, then I can never go back to work. But the children were going to have summer off and I was going to be at work anyway. So eventually they were going, they were going to come home and be at home and I was going to go to work and be at work. So I don't know when that, you know, when that shed point happens, you know?
And in what, 4 to 6 years, you're going to have one out of the house and right after that, the other one's up. And then what do you do, yeah, right?
The empty nest thing is a completely different thing. So
yeah, that's around the corner. I mean, that'll be here before you know it. I'm a little bit behind that, but yeah, it's going to be here faster than you realize.
Oh, totally. So I'm all for Slack. I love Slack, and we're implementing it wherever we can. So we're doing all we can, and I'm doing all we can to help everyone get up to speed on all of the things that we need to do. But it's an interesting thing to think about. It's an interesting thought exercise to think about the 4 to 8 weeks that we were expected to go back to work and how you're going to deal with that, because that's going to be a change. It's not going to be return to normal. It's going to be a different change to something that was what it was in the past. So, you know, just to circle back to the trailers that we're talking about, when we're talking about, you know, Jacob, at the end of the trailer, Chris Evans says, there was no normal. There was only before and after. And I totally think that's the way we're going to feel about COVID-19 2020, where there was before and there was after, and neither of them are normal, but we're going to have to deal with the repercussions of everything.
Things are going to change. We don't yet know how, because we're still trying to keep... It's like we have pudding. We're trying to like... hold on to pudding and it's squeezing, or jello, right? And it's squeezing through our hands and we're trying to hold on to that jello, but the jello wants to be its thing and we don't know yet what that thing is, and we're gonna see. I mean, so with that, how about we see what happens next week and we cut each other loose.
Awesome. Thank you for episode 111.
Yeah, 111. All right, man, we'll talk to you next week for 112.
Awesome. Talk to you later.
All right, Ted. Later. Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.